Right? But even unto the day
when Moses is read, the veil is upon the heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Isaiah 15, 16, 17 of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians.
Might as well do what last verse there.
All right. Verse 18. But we all,
with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from the glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord.
Verse 15. Why is the but there? What does that relate to? Any hands on that? Why is the but? What is but why? Any hands on that? Nobody?
They're showing contrast.
All right. The Old Testament, which veil, is done away in Christ. But, even unto this day, when Moses is read, what is true about the veil? Anna? Paul Scrivener, just raised it. Come in. We're in the book of 2 Corinthians. All right, 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, and verse 15. Linda, you all right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now that we've read verse 14, what does the but refer back to? Any hands on that?
2 Corinthians 3, verse 15.
3:15. In verse 14, we said, until the day remaineth, same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which is all done away. Now, what is the but there, Richard?
It refers back to the veil.
All right. But, unto this day when Moses read, the veil is upon their heart. It's a heart veil, disturbing on their heart, so they can't understand the New Testament faith, sad to say.
2 Corinthians 3:16
now. But nevertheless, when he shall turn to the Lord, what does the it refer to there? Any hands on that? When it shall return to the Lord. What's the it?
The heart.
Well, it could be the heart, but the heart is supposed to be already there, but what else could the it be? When it shall return to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. So, yes, Hannah.
Well, I suppose this is in reference to the, I mean, that when Israel, when the Israel is going to be,
yes.
Right now we have the time with the Gentiles, but it is a referencing to like the hearts and minds of the Jewish people.
Yes, when Israel, when the Jews return to the Lord, then what will happen in verse 16? Any hands on that? Yes, John.
The veil shall be taken away.
The veil shall be taken away when they turn to the Lord. When they're with the Lord.
What chapter? Chapter we in Corinthians?
Corinthians chapter 3. That's right, chapter 3, verse 15.
Well, 1 Corinthians or 2nd?
2nd.
Okay,
Dr. Wade. Okay, 2nd Corinthians. So, that veil will be taken away, verse 14, 15, and 16. And we read 17 also.
Yes.
Now, what does it say about the Holy Spirit of God in verse 17? Any hands on that? What's it say about the Holy Spirit? Yes, Anna.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
All right. The Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. How would we define liberty? Any questions or hands on that one? How would we define there is liberty? John?
Freedom in Christ.
Freedom in Christ. In the law of Moses, is that described as liberty? The law of Moses? Is that described as liberty?
No, the law is bondage.
It's bondage. It's not liberty. Tammy, is that Tammy or Anna?
It's Anna. So the liberty in this context seems to be the liberty from the veil. The veil has been removed, and so they have the liberty to see the liberty to see the Old Testament prophecies and understand that the prophecies are speaking to, of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, Dr. Wade, I'm on Corinthians chapter 3. What verse was 16?
2 Corinthians 3, 17. Just finished 17.
Okay, thank you, sir.
All right. Let's read verse 18. Where are we there in 18? Right, right. What is the but referred to here? Why is the but here?
Conjunctive.
Conjunctive, but why is it refers to what? You don't have a but without a cause for the but. Adversative conjunction. What does it refer back to?
Referring back to the liberty that we have.
All right. Where the Spirit of the Lord is. Why is it but there? Where the Lord is that Spirit. What about the veil? What about the Jews? Yes, Anna, I could see, I'm sorry.
I think that the veil is still upon their heart. You know, mm-hmm. The veil's been taken away. But in contrast, we don't have the veil because we have the open face. We're beholding the glory of the Lord. So it's a showing contrast. And we ourselves, because it's like we're looking into a glass. It's like sort of a mirror. We see the Lord. And then we're transformed by the Spirit of the Lord. We're becoming more like Christ.
All right, who's the we all refer to in verse 17? Is it 18 or 18, I guess? Any hands on that? Who's the we all? That time?
Well, in the context, it's the Apostle Paul. And the people who are writing and the church in Corinth, but by application, it's all born again Christians.
Oh, but genuine Christians is different than the Jews with the veil and the blindness, almost, pardon. And what does it mean with open face in verse 18?
It's no longer a veil.
No longer a veil, okay, that's good. And what can Christians now behold without a veil? Genuine Christians, we are. What can they behold?
The glory of the Lord.
The glory of the Lord. As in a glass, the glory of the Lord. And when we see the glory of the Lord in the glass, in the scriptures, what is changed or can be changed from these genuine Christians? It says we. Who's the we referred to again?
True born again Christians.
True Christians. We are changed. What did they change from? What did they change
from? George had a comment.
What is it?
George had a comment.
Okay.
I'm saying
that. Oh, I'm sorry, George. I didn't see your hand. Sorry.
I'm saying, as an interesting image, we are changed into the image of Christ.
The image of Christ through the scriptures and the veil taken away, spirit of liberty, open face, beholding the glory of the Lord. Where do we behold the glory of the Lord? Where do we behold that glory?
I have to get out of the bathroom.
Could you repeat your question?
With all
the Word of God.
Where do we see the glory of God? Pastor Dan says, in the scriptures we can behold the glory of God, all the glorious things. This revelation is a glorious thing that we can behold and change into the same image. What image is the Lord that Christians, general Christians, can be changed into? What is the image of the Lord? What does this mean? What type of image?
That of Christ Himself.
Christ Himself. Wait, Danny.
Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is God Himself, and He is holy. Yeah, so it's like a reflection of God's holiness.
All right.
Able to.
Right. And how is that obtained?
Not physically, but by His characteristics.
Characteristics. Where do you find His image and His glory? Paul?
God's Word, the Bible.
God's Word, the Bible. You can find changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord Himself. Spirit of the Lord can change lost, now saved, been in saved people, and into the glory of the Lord. So transformation is a big transformation. It changed from flesh only to flesh and Holy Spirit. And the glory of the Lord is part of our new natures, the Spirit of God, we're genuine Christian believers. All right, that's a very great miracle. Any other comments on chapter 3 before we move on to chapter 4? Okay, let's read chapter 4, verses 1, 2, and 3 together.
Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we spend not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost.
Right, verse 1. Therefore, what does that refer back to? In the previous verse, is that Paul?
I couldn't have been, I was going to say, D-H-E-I-R, if you're possessive. You know, the kind of thing that possessive.
It means, therefore means there, you say?
No, I mean, I guess, no, I meant to say, I don't know what, there meaning T-H-E-I-R, be possessive meaning there.
Well, but therefore, that conjunction, what does that refer back to? That's a conclusive thing, isn't it? This is, therefore, something, what's it therefore refer back to?
Refer back to the image of the glory of the Lord that we have after we are become born again.
All right, change, the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of God. Therefore, because of all this before, the preceding verse, what is true in verse number 1? Seeing we, who's the we referred to here?
True born again Christians.
The genuine Christians, we the genuine Christians, we have this ministry. What ministry do you think this refers to? Any questions, any comments or hands on that? Who's their ministry? What's the ministry referred to here? We have at the time.
The ministry of reconciliation, the ministry of being able to share Christ with others.
Mm-hmm. And that's important. We have this ministry. Do everyone who's a genuine Christian, do all those who are genuine Christians, think they have a ministry and do they use the ministry of the Lord?
No.
They do not. Should they use the ministry?
Yes.
They should use the scriptures. They should talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, being Savior, and they try to lead them to the Lord if they're not saved. They should take part. We have this ministry. Then it says, as we receive mercy, we think, what is mercy? How would you define mercy? Yes.
Not receiving something we deserve.
Right. It's faith. No, that's not faith.
Jill.
Jill.
Faith is over here.
No, Jill.
Okay. Repeat that answer again, please, Jill.
Oh, not receiving something we deserve.
Okay, that's mercy. And what is grace?
Yes. Receiving something we don't deserve.
Okay. Grace, getting something. Okay. Mercy, not getting something. What are you not getting in mercy?
Punishment.
The punishment of things that are bad. And grace, what are you getting by grace? If you're a genuine Christian now, what are you getting by grace?
Some kind of reward.
Riches.
Reward, what kind of reward?
God's riches.
God's riches?
At Christ's expense.
Christ's expense, that's true. But what does God give us by his grace? That passion in?
Salvation.
Salvation, all these things. So it's talking about mercy, talking about grace. We're receiving his mercy, we faint not. What does the word faint not mean? What is the we refer to? Who's the we? Who's the we? Christian, genuine Christian. See, do unsaved people sometimes faint? But the things of the Lord, they don't even do much of anything. Do sometimes genuine Christians faint?
Yes.
Lots of things. Yeah, they're weak and they're weary, but faint not. What does it mean to faint not over Christian things? What does it mean to faint not? I mean, there's one or two more chairs this afternoon. There's one.
I guess I'll have to come.
That's all right. I don't mind.
Is there room there?
Well. She has her Bible there, which is good. That's okay. Praise God, you have a Bible there.
When people come in, got to put our Bibles on her lap and then their head.
I'm like, what in my car? I think it's her.
We're in 2 Corinthians.
One under the
Bible. Is there a Bible?
Yeah, here we go.
Thank you.
Okay, we're 2 Corinthians chapter
3.
Right. 2 Corinthians
chapter 4.
That's good enough. Let's make a report.
We read 4:1-3. Okay.
Yeah.
Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, what ministry is that? Oh, excuse me.
Just so you know, I've been watching for the last minute on YouTube. It's coming in perfect.
Perfect. Well, yeah. I thought you said it's coming in perfect. Imperfect, but it's imperfect.
No, it's coming in,
right.
And the perfect will come.
That's
us. Got
a message from Lincolnshire as well.
Don't
from Lincolnshire. He's not listening to Lincolnshire anymore, but he said, Rob said it's coming fine, too, and sermon audio. So I've got YouTube, check YouTube out for 5 minutes, and Rob is saying, no, it's coming out fine. The webpage, you can't do the Brown box, but on the first part of this little picture, you have to click on those little four dots in the lower right-hand corner of that little picture, and that'll magnify it.
Actually, we'll have to call our people and see why that Brown box is far. It hasn't worked for several weeks. And
You just have to learn how to use it. You have to click on the picture, like Pastor Van said. There's four little dots.
Oh, no, but we should be able to use that brown, long light.
Well,
we've
right
all
now
used for years.
He's working on some things for the fire department inspection.
I'm saying, well, if he doesn't call, I'll call him. But we've got to use that brown box that has been used for years. Something broke about it.
It was working up until today.
No, the brown box was not working until today at all. The five dots were working to make it bigger, but not the brown box. Not on my computer.
Well, I know it was working Thursday night.
It's not working on my box. It's not working today. You click that box, it doesn't work. So if Pastor Dan is busy, I'll have to do it myself and call the people, ask to restore the brown box that's parallel. That'll make that little picture big. Yes.
I know there was something my brother's friend who said that he wanted. I shared this with you like last week or the week before. We'll just get back. But his friend Russell prayed for salvation, but he was Catholic and at first he didn't believe in like just KJV, and he believed you can lose your salvation and everything. And then all of a sudden he changed and he said he got a KJV. He bought one, and he's afraid he might go to hell, and he wants to know more. He was, like a week ago, he was trying to click on the brown box or trying to get on your thing, and he couldn't understand how to do it. He couldn't get on it, and then I tried,
the
and I
box,
couldn't get on
it. Got to put that back. That's what I told him. See, the brown box, and
I'm glad Russell's trying. That's good. That's good news. We had Russell link to the sermon audio and also the YouTube.
Oh,
he's linked? No, we need to send him not LinkedIn, but give him a link. So there's other places, too.
Yeah, or you could give it to me if
I don't
have it. Yeah.
Jill, Russ called me. He wrote me almost 2 pages long.
Yeah.
All a lot of things. I answered him. I said, very glad to hear from him. Don't have anything to do. Glad to talk to him. Give me a call. I'll answer any question you might have. He never did a word from that. He just gave
Maybe
up.
Maybe he was expecting to hear from me. I said, I'm expecting to hear from him the way it looks like. I said, well, maybe I'll try again. I have to get back, because I wasn't on Facebook for a little while, and he's on Facebook and stuff.
Well, also I told Russ how to get out of the morning service, how to get out of the afternoon service for Sunday, Thursday night, and give me a call. We'll talk about any matter you want to talk about. I left it up to him. 2 pages of letter. I didn't know which of those things he wanted to talk about.
I didn't know what he was going to say. I said, well, whatever it is, share with me. And then he shared with me. He said it was really for the pastor. Don't tell him. I'm not going to share what the letter is about because, he could trust me and I'm loyal and everything. But the fact is that he just doubts his salvation. And the fact is that he wants to be saved, but he said he doesn't want to go to hell.
Yes.
So that's it. Russell Hunnicky is his full name. So
right.
Please pray for him.
I think you told me that when he reported back to you, he said I was very short in my response, and as if I didn't care what God was short, but I gave him all the evidence of what we can do in morning service, afternoon service, Thursday service. Also invited him, give me a call. We're glad to talk to you, any subject you want to talk to. If that is not, that's an invitation. I don't want to have 2 pages.
I'll read it.
I've given up on it. I just take it. He says, no, I'm talking to me. I don't have answers. I was very kind, and I wrote him about this much of a letter, email. I did not write 2 pages. He wrote 2 pages.
He was waiting for me to get back to him with different ways to get there, because he couldn't get on the brown box, I don't think, of different things himself.
Well, that's fine.
I'll clarify.
I gave him my phone number.
I hope you do that, too.
856-261-9018.
Yes, I gave him it as well. I thought, you said I can give him your cell phone number.
Right.
Can I ask a quick question? Jill, where does he live?
Northern New Jersey, where my family lives,
okay.
Yeah.
You should invite him to this.
Well, I didn't invite him.
But I mean, somebody in the congregation.
A couple hours away, but I can ask him.
He can listen to us on the internet. See, he doesn't have to come personally.
Yes.
Yeah, listen on the internet.
So, what verse are we on?
Verse 1. We faint not.
What does it mean to Christians not to faint? What is admonition? Paul.
To be steadfast and to be encouraged and praying without ceasing.
All right, that's one. And the other things, what is God and not fainting?
Not to give up.
Not to give up with whatever we're talking about. Do some Christians faint?
Yes.
Because that's what Paul says, that we faint not. He doesn't want them to faint. They just don't want to do anything. Anyway, so that we faint not. And then in verse number 2 of chapter 4, but what does that refer back to? Yeah, Pastor Dan?
Verse of conjunction.
Verse of conjunction, we're looking back to what that this shouldn't be the way to do. What's the wrong way to do it?
A contrast between light and darkness, the way things were, the way things are.
Okay, and what things were they? What things he didn't want to happen in verse number 1? What does he not want to happen in verse 1, the right end of it? These Christians should not do what? Yes, Pastor Dan?
He doesn't want them to faint.
They don't want them to faint. But
there's a renunciation of the hidden things of darkness.
All right. But instead of that, what should they do in verse 2? Anyhow, hands on that. What should they do, these Christians, instead of fainting?
Renounce the hidden things of dishonesty.
Renounce. Get away from dishonesty. That's one thing they can do without fainting. If you're faint about dishonesty, you're not renouncing. You're just sort of taking it easy and not going back at what people that are dishonest. Hidden things are dishonest. What also should not be done as a part of fainting in verse 2? Yes, internet?
Not walking in craftiness.
What do you think craftiness might be?
Being cunning and sneaky, like in an evil way, like planning and plotting, bad motives, evil motives.
That's part of it, isn't it? Any other ideas on it? Craftiness. Are anybody in this room crafty?
I don't know, they might be.
Are
you
told
what kind of crafts are you talking about?
Does anybody in this room want to admit it?
I admit it.
Crafty.
Being manipulative.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Well, so was yours.
Probably manipulation.
That's what I think.
Manipulation, when it should be straightforward.
Yeah.
Not trying to hide things. When you manipulate, you're hiding the truth. You manipulate into something other, you change the subject of it. That's part of it. What's the next word here? Not handling.
The word of God.
What does that mean? And do you do it? Do we do it? Who does it? And why do they do it? Or what happens when they do it? Yeah, Joe?
Well, there are some people who look like they're angels of light, but they're really not. And they're like these false pastors, let's say, or televangelists, and they're doing things for the wrong motive, like maybe for money or for fame or attention. That's why they're ministering the word. And might not even be saved. A lot of them are not saved, or they might not be here.
How does a person handle the Word of God deceitfully? Any hands on that?
They change the words. They're not telling the truth. Mm-hmm. They're using it for their own benefit. They're being deceitful.
If they don't understand it, do the new versions that change doctrines in at least 356 places to use those versions? Are they handling the Word of God deceitfully by using them?
Yes.
Even I know that the 356 are not scriptural, not proper, not right, but if they use them, they're deceitful. They're not true.
They're complicit just by using them.
They're complicit. They may not know that this is the case, but we should tell them if they don't know. And some of them don't want to know. You can talk all you want to about the new versions, change the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek by translating, falsifying the English by mistranslating the Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic. Yes.
Or they just water it down to the point where they're taking away from the true power of God's Word by using different words. It waters it down, and it's like, no, I don't want watered down version.
Right.
You want to know the truth and the beauty of the power of the Word.
Yes. And that would be deceitful by not honoring the Scripture and telling what it means in pure, simple terms. But by manifestation, what is the proper way to handle the Word of God in the last part of verse 3? What's the proper way? Any hands on it? 4, verse 3. Yeah, Tammy and then Bill.
Making the truth manifest or making it known.
All right. Now, Bill.
Using the Bible, the proper translation of the Bible correctly, that would be the best way.
Mm-hmm. By manifestation of the truth, how do you manifest something? Yeah, Don.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Don.
You make it known.
Make
it obvious.
Make it obvious. After that.
What Don just said.
That's John's brother. He came to visit.
Don and John.
Yeah, Don and John.
Praise God.
Yeah, go ahead.
Manifesting, being epistles, living the Word, it's easy. I'll be honest, it's easier to speak the Word.
Oh, yeah.
But to live the Word, it's a little bit more,
it's difficult.
You gotta do it.
Yeah.
Live it.
Yeah, this is going back to chapter 3, verse 3. About or into that early first few verses about the epistle known and read of all men.
Yes, a living epistle known of all men. So that is yes.
And also having the conscience, like knowing that God sees everything, like He's seeing us doing that, living that, speaking in truth.
To whom should we? Should we kill?
Yeah, like Anna was saying in chapter 3, verse 3, towards the end, when it says here, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. We can't, have dead work. We can have our heart be dead, but not manifesting our faith in action towards people by being like a living epistle, by acting out our faith, by showing people love, by declaring the gospel and how to be saved.
Okay, let's talk to Jacob. See what he has to say. And get this phone out of the plastic. Hi, Jacob.
Dale.
Oh, Dale. Okay, go ahead.
I just want to say hello and to tell you that Sam is coming through beautifully.
Wonderful. Thanks for letting us know there, Dale. I appreciate that. Let's wave to go with Dale in what state?
Texas.
Okay, thank you. Texas. All right, put this right on here so I can reach it. And that's, I was asking, I guess, before we started the call, in verse 2, chapter 4, 2 Corinthians, verse 2, renounce the hidden things of darkness. What are hidden things of darkness?
Dishonesty?
Things not obvious.
Not
that's
obvious.
What makes them hidden.
All right. They're hidden things. But
they're subtle.
Things that are darkness, are they hidden or open?
They're dark.
And some people want to keep things dark. But things are bad. And Tammy?
Are we talking about verse 2?
Verse 2. Pronounce the hidden things of dishonesty.
Dishonesty. Mm-hmm. So dishonesty is hiding the truth.
All right.
It says dishonesty. I didn't know where we were.
How can you hide dishonesty? How do people hide dishonesty, Bill?
The worst example of all is Mike Murdoch. He never talks about Jesus Christ.
That's right.
He never talks about the gospel. He only talks about sending money. He's using a religious platform, a Christian platform, to reach people, to get them to send money in to him and the organization that he works with. That's the hidden thing there.
He's a preacher, is he?
He professes to be a preacher. He's on almost every night.
I see.
Late night television.
Mm-hmm.
But he is a prosperity preacher is what he is. He's
plant like, a faith seed.
One of the worst examples.
Word of faith, yeah.
Now, back in chapter 4, verse 1, it says, therefore, seeing we have the ministry, we have
this
ministry, yes. So, the people that have renounced all these things in verse number 2 and not handling the word of God deceitfully are mentioned in verse number 1.
Mm-hmm.
That should be what we should do. We should be truthful and honest and speak the truth that we know in Scripture. The question I have now next is in verse number 2, to whom should we realize and notify and see in us a dishonesty for not walking in the craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, or manifesting truth? To whom, to what people should the general Christian show these matters, according to this verse?
Yes. So it's every man's conscience.
Every man knows the conscience. What's the difference between every man's mind and every man's conscience? What's the difference? How do you get to people's conscience? How do you show the people in their conscience? That is that?
Appeal to sense of right and wrong. That's your conscience.
Yeah, that would be a conscience, sense of right and wrong. You see, do people show openly their conscience to the world?
No.
No, it's a secret thing. So, but to show against all these bad things for every man's conscience. Yes, Tammy?
I think if somebody is truly demonstrating a changed life, then other people realize that. They may not accept it. Then they may fight you outwardly, but in their heart they know that something is different. And so consequently, you know, their conscience is being pricked every time they think of you, and sometimes they react violently. Literally violently in the case of certain groups of people, or, you know, verbally violently. And so it would appear that you are being rude and obnoxious to them, when in fact it's actually their conscience that's being pricked.
Mm-hmm. In verse 3, number, if our gospel be, what does Paul mean by gospel? Any hands on that? Antoinette?
The good news of Jesus Christ.
Okay. Exactly. What is the gospel, the Bible gospel? Any hands on that? What does the gospel include? What do you not preach if you do not preach straight what the gospel should be? Yeah, pass it in.
One aspect is that all men are sinners, and if they continue to remain in their state of sin, they will spend the rest of eternity in hell.
That's certainly part of the gospel. What is the Greek word for gospel?
Good news?
Yes.
Or something that maybe translates good news?
That's right. What is the Greek? Anna?
Oh, Paul.
Oh, Paul?
Say the same thing.
Confess. Anna, what's the gospel?
Or Evangelion.
What does eo mean in Greek?
Good.
And what does gelion, angelion?
News. Messenger,
or
messenger.
Send, yeah. Something that is sent.
Angelion. To angelos is to announce. The good announcement, the good news. And Pastor Dan gave part of the good news. The negative is good news. Said what? The first part of the gospel is negative. What is the negative part of the good news? If never given, is not good news. That's bad news. It's part of the good news. Do you have to mention the bad news before the good news?
Yes.
Yes, you do. If you leave out the bad news, what is true. Yes, Tammy?
You don't understand the good news. Because right. You don't know why Christ died for your sins.
Are some people wanting to leave out the bad news because yes. They don't believe there's any bad news? Do some people believe there's no bad news?
Mm-hmm.
It's Joe.
Some people are deliberately leaving it out, like Joel Osteen, all these others, yeah. You know, like Michael Church, like Bill said, the prosperity pastors yeah. And all these false pastors mm-hmm. that are not giving the true word of God are deliberately leaving it out to deceive them. They're not true men of God.
Why do they leave out, these preachers and all, leave out the bad news when they talk about it?
That turns people off.
It turns people off. Is it still truth?
Yep.
Well, should truth turn people off?
No.
Why does some truth turn people off? Tammy?
Because they reject it.
They reject it.
It shows them the error of their ways and they don't like
yes,
it.
Yes, they don't like it, absolutely. But, yes.
And some people think, well, it's going to take away my freedom to do what I want to do mm-hmm. if I have to obey God.
What is part of the good news, or the bad news, rather, of the gospel? What is the most horrendous part of the bad news of the gospel? Any hands on that?
Well, you're a sinner and you're condemned, and if you don't respond in faith and obedience to the gospel, then you'll remain condemned.
And what does that condemnation lead to mean? Tammy, and then Antoinette?
It means that we will be eternally separated from God in hell.
In hell, Antoinette?
I was just going to say, there's none righteous, there's not one, there's none that seeketh after God. Mm-hmm. So without God, we're lost.
Yes.
And that's the truth.
If people do not understand there is such a thing as the burning fires of eternal hell, what maybe would be their attitude toward the gospel? Yes, Anna.
Well, they might think, well, even if people do acknowledge that there is a hell, they don't understand the severity of hell, perhaps. Anyway, they want to do what they want to do, and they think that if they go to hell, it's going to be some sort of party where they can do whatever they want. But that's mm-hmm. not what it's like.
Yes,
if they don't believe in eternal hell, the fire that burns forever and the worms consume, but yet your body's or the worms eat, but your body's never consumed, then they think, well, it's either heaven or just eternal non-existence. Either way, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
They don't think there's a punishment for not accepting the truth.
Yes,
people rationalize and say, well, God, you know, God is supposed to be a loving God. And why would he do that if he has all this love for man? Mm-hmm. And, you know, why would God do that, send somebody to hell? But mm-hmm. they don't understand he's also just. He's a just God.
Well, that's the first part of the gospel. The one that talks about the destiny of those that reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Eternally, the lake of fire, without ever living again in life, but always in eternal burning. Now that's the first one. What else is in the gospel that should be part of the gospel? Not only that you're lost and you got the bad news if you reject Christ. What is the good news? The gospel, yes, and
that Christ died for our sins.
All right.
According to
the scriptures. Died for whose sins? That's another question.
The world.
Does everybody agree that God died, the Lord Jesus died for the whole world's sins? Who doesn't agree?
He made provision for everyone that's ever lived, but not everyone has accepted it.
All right. And, yes, Jill?
And, you know, without shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. There are certain people who claim to be Christian that don't believe that. They're like, oh, well, he didn't really shed his blood and, you know, and stuff, too. It just... That literal flood.
All right, so what is the way that God makes it possible for sinners who properly act what they should do to go to heaven instead of hell? Anna?
Well, the Lord Jesus Christ came to earth. He's both God and man, perfect God, perfect man, and he was totally without sin. He was not able to sin.
Mm-hmm.
And because he is infinite, he could pay for all the sins of the world in a finite amount of time. Whereas we, as finite creatures, if we reject what he's mm-hmm. done, it will take us an infinite amount of time to pay for our sins.
Mm-hmm. And could never do it.
That's good.
Right. Good.
Yeah, since his blood was he was perfect and sinless. Mm-hmm. His blood was not tainted with anything. Mm-hmm. So by making it one drop of his blood could cover the sacrifice needed for all mm-hmm. that have ever lived or will live.
And how does one receive this price that was paid for him or for her? How does one receive it, Pastor Dan?
Message to our pastor, sending warm greetings to you and your all beautiful church family. Thank you very much for this afternoon's Bible study. How grateful we are to see the Lord for each and every one of you. God bless you and his love, Carl and Vicki.
Carl and Vicki Albert. They're from Massachusetts.
Maine.
Thank you, Carl and Vicki. Appreciate that very much. So how does a person, man or woman, boy or girl, receive this gift of eternal life and escapes eternal hell? How do you do it?
Confess Christ as Lord.
What do you mean, confess?
Accept him as the... Right. Not only your Lord and Savior, but you need to accept that it's his blood, not his death, but his blood that makes that atonement. Mm-hmm.
Tammy?
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ
and thou shalt be saved.
All right, now you mentioned belief. What type of belief must it be?
It's trust.
Trusting, confidence. Confident belief.
What? Yes. What type of belief should it not be? Yeah, go ahead, Dan.
Not head belief.
Not head belief.
Heart belief.
Heart belief.
Amen. In order to trust something or someone, you have to act on that. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's just an acknowledgement.
What is the best adjective that must precede faith in order to save a soul? What is a good adjective about this faith that they say they have? Or belief that they say they have? Or trust that they say they have? What's a good adjective to make sure it's the proper trust and faith and belief? Is somebody just saying, I believe in Jesus, sufficient?
No.
What kind of belief is it? Anne-Marie, Anne-Marie?
Are you thinking genuine faith?
That's a good adjective. Genuine faith that God can see and know. Not just peripheral faith and talk. That's the way with so many. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people say, I'm a Christian. Where'd you been a Christian? From birth. Crazy ideas like that. But people say that.
The fact that they say from birth, then you know that they weren't believing in it because they never believed that they were a sinner.
Exactly.
And they never needed to be saved. So
right.
It's not logical. So you can tell them that they don't understand the gospel.
Exactly. Well, that's a good discussion on that gospel. Evangelion, good news. And that verse is a tremendous verse, too. If our gospel is hid, verse 3. What does it mean to be lost? Any hands on that?
To be eternally separated.
What is it?
To be eternally separated from God.
Eternally separated from God. That's a good definition. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call and comment. A lot of questions we asked, a lot of questions have been answered here. We appreciate it. Let's enter into it and be with us. Yeah, Tammy.
This is not about your question.
Okay.
I'm so glad everyone's here.
Yes.
It's a comfort.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
This is an unusual audience. We only have a few chairs
it's
left.
Fact.
Praise
yeah.
the Lord. Wonderful.
It's really packed today.
Well, I don't know why it's packed, but it's packed.
No,
praise
it's
the
Lord. Blessing.
Now, go ahead.
Well, I must say that this ministry has encouraged me, which was, which is why I got saved. But I hope and pray that the Bible for the Day ministry will continue for years to come down the road. I hope it will continue here.
Amen.
Yes. We also hope that. And when this preacher leaves the scene, Pastor Dan said he's going to take over, whether it's here in this particular
Amen.
Place or some other place. And so we trust that that will be the case. Are there very many churches such as ours with the doctrines and practices such as ours?
Not that I'm aware of.
It is possible there's more than we realize.
That's a possibility.
But we don't necessarily know them.
How many churches are there in the country or in the world, roughly?
We don't know.
Well, roughly. Yeah, Paul?
I don't know specifically, but I do know this, that the church where Elaine and I got married, which was Ariel Community Church, also preaches and teaches and believes from the King James.
Yeah, that's good. It's a good start, isn't it?
If we started with Collingswood, we might have a problem. I'm not sure if we could even finish that.
That's correct. Is Collingswood a believing city as a whole?
No,
they're not a believing city.
No places.
In answer to your question about how many, I don't know the number, how many, but between denominations and different sects and then cults, there are over 7,000 groups.
7,000.
And many of those will have multiple, assemblies under their particular umbrella.
I see.
So it gives us an awful lot. And most of them do not believe.
Oh.
As I said before, if it's going to be in here, in Collingswood here, I would, I hope and pray that it is, because I would love to continue coming here.
Mm-hmm. Well, Pastor Nan, I can decide where he wants to be once I'm out of here. We'll see. But now
we didn't mean that to be disrespect.
No, I realize I'd like to be closer to you, but you've got buses, Paul, that drives you here. Maybe they'll drive you to the next place, wherever Pastor Dunn decides, if he doesn't like this particular place. Tammy, go ahead and then Don.
I just want to say, we know there's at least one other Bible-believing church in town.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Bible Presbyterian Church.
Birth Church, that's right.
Amen. I forgot all that.
And how many other churches do we have in this place in town, roughly?
We have
all those. And when we say church, what do we mean? Do we mean a building that has the name church on the sign, or do we mean an actual body of believers that might meet in a house or building or in the middle of the street, although that might not be the safest place to meet? But
I usually mean the building. Usually. But they consider us the city of Collingswood a church.
We're not a building.
A building is built like across the street. Big, high, big, different things. But in the Bible, there's the church in thy house 5 or 6 times. This is a church in the house. It's not a big building like these buildings out here. Pastor Dan.
So what a church is just a building. That's what we're saying. That's what our discussion. We're talking about churches. We're just talking about buildings. Buildings, that's what we're talking about.
But I'm talking about things that are inside those buildings that call themselves churches, see. But the regular definition that they see is a huge big building and a small little house that people meet in that are scriptural churches, church in the house. They do not consider a church at all.
Right.
But they do, they won't. And they make us a requirements, scads and pages of requirements, which we're now fulfilling for thousands and thousands of dollars. Because they consider us, even though we're not a building, just for the effect of this big building.
Anna? I believe the question was how many churches are in Collingswood, and we were trying to
establish. No, in the world, in general. That's the first question.
We have no idea.
I've got a better answer. I did a quick Google search and told us how many churches are in this world. Christian churches, one of those that have assigned the assignment, whoever made the assignment, as Christian churches, 37 million churches in the world with 34,000 denominations.
Wow.
That's hard to remember. They're churches, right? Well,
that's from Quora.com.
Okay. I should withdraw my question. But
is that a peer review? I said, is that a website peer review? A website that we can...
No, Quora. Quora. Q-U-O-R-A. I took it off. I think it's Q-U-O-R-A.
Anna and Tammy, whoever's first.
But if you ask Google how many Christians are in the world, it will tell you 2 billion. But that number of people could include people who are Christians in name only. People who are not true.
Consider
Christians. So the problem is when we say church, that website is probably just giving us church, and then. But what if there's a small group of believers that's meeting, but they're not officially designated a church, but they are a church, but then they're not being counted as a church, but then there's people being counted who aren't.
Taking off of what Anna said, mm-hmm. I was thinking of before, you know, there's a lot of countries where Christians are persecuted. They do not meet openly, and they're communist countries, or they're Islamic countries, or other countries that persecute Christians.
They'd be put in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
and murdered.
After Jesus died, Christianity started to become popular, and they were executing them.
Yes, they were.
Right around Jesus.
They were executing a lot of things.
They still do today in the world.
Right. Getting back to verse 3, chapter 6, verse 3.
Chapter 4, verse 3, pardon me.
If our gospel be hid, or what does it mean for a gospel to be hid? Any hands on that? Paul?
I think what it means is that not being a witness as Christ would command. You know, when he said, go out to the world and preach the gospel, I think what he's saying is to be... to be an effective witness for those who need to hear the gospel.
Linda?
what was the
question? The gospel be hid. What does it mean to be hid?
Oh, like some countries, they have what you call underground Bible studies,
mm-hmm.
like Russia.
Mm-hmm. Why do they have those, Linda?
Because they're not allowed to practice their faith.
That's right. And Tammy?
Well, if anything is hid, let's just say you hide something valuable,
mm-hmm.
but you don't want anyone to find it.
Right.
It's not viewable. It can't be seen.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be witnessed. It can't be observed.
Mm-hmm.
Any number of adjectives when something is hid.
Mm-hmm. Is the Christian gospel hid by many people who claim to be Christian?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Anna.
I think another thing is it's just hid. It's just if you go back to the previous chapter about the veil, you have a veil, and in the next verse even, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them who believe not.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is it's not even necessarily saying that Paul or someone is intentionally hiding the gospel. It's just saying that people's minds and their eyes are blind to the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm supposed to pray that people's eyes would be open to the truth.
I'll just brought up the next verse. Let's read verses 4, 5, and 6 before the bell rings. In whom
the God of this world hath blinded the minds of men, and they do not believe God, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Those are three precious verses.
Amen.
And we just have a few minutes to talk about them. Let's start in verse 4. In whom? Who's that referred back to?
The lost.
Mm-hmm. The lost, do they believe there's an in whom that has, according to this verse, do they believe that there is such a thing as the God of this world? Who is this God of this world referring to? Don?
Lucifer.
Lucifer. What does Lucifer mean?
The devil bearer.
Oh, the devil. What was it?
Shining.
Oh, I said light bearer. He
light
was supposed
bearer, shining.
To.
That's right.
He was originally like the archangel, and he was supposed
mm-hmm.
to make known the glory of the Lord, but instead he decides to put himself forward, and for some reason he wants to put himself equal to God, which was not at all what he was supposed to do. He was supposed to reflect the glory of God, not try and be God.
Well, just commenting on the word here, light bearer, is that a true definition of sin? Or and why?
It's true and false.
I think his name, Lucifer, is supposed to translate as light bearer or shining one.
Right. Is that a true name or a false name? Is that true?
Well, now it's not true, I guess, anymore.
Okay.
That's how he comes, though, as an angel of light. So in that sense, it is true, and but it's also false because it's not a genuine light.
He did not actually bear the name. I cannot say it. He's a Lucifer. That name, he does not represent our name.
Yes.
Yeah.
Does represent.
Yeah, he's the devil.
Yes.
So Lucifer does not represent our name.
That's right. He's a lying person.
Yeah.
Any other comments on this? We'll pause a little bit before we close. Any other comments or questions on any of these verses before we stop? I hope you all come back next Sunday.
That'd be nice.
Enough to.
So we don't force anybody to come.
I'll play the beer.
You willingly come, that's all. We don't crack whips. We don't get money. All right. George, you're closing the word of prayer. Glad to have George from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.